everyone. Welcome to a brand new, exciting Thanksgiving episode of Not Aspirational with Hannah Brown. I'm your host, Hannah Brown, and welcome back, everybody. I am super excited for today's guest. Before we get to her, if you don't follow me already, follow me on Instagram at Hannah A. Brown and on Twitter at Hannah A. Brown and on TikTok at Hannah A. Brown 0. Also, if you're loving the show, please feel free to head on over to iTunes and leave a rating and a review. I would love you long time. And also, if you just can't get enough of me, head on over to patreon.com/notaspirational, where just $5 a month gets you access to all of the bonus episodes, and you help support me and this podcast. And some exciting things are going on at the Patreon right now because I just wrapped up recapping season 2 of Roni, which means, y'all, we're going to be diving into Laguna Beach season 1. So I have some really exciting ideas for that. So head on over if you feel like it. Also, this past week, I guested on 2 incredible podcasts hosted by 2 of my favorite people. I plugged this last week, but it came out yesterday. So I was on What Else Is Going On with friend of the pod, Taria Faison. I love her so much. We talked about Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, Bachelorette, Kim Kardashian's ugly crying face. It was a great time, so make sure to check that out. And then I also guested on Is This Real Life with Mandy Slutsker. We live for Mandy. We die for Mandy. We love Mandy. And we also talked about Bachelorette in Salt Lake City. So, you know, I ran my mouth about those shows and I regret nothing. Check it out. Also, I'm dropping this on Thanksgiving. I'm dropping it a day early because, you know what? I hope if you are cooking alone in your apartment or going for a morning walk or taking a long bath, whatever rituals, whatever self-care rituals you are doing today on this Thanksgiving that is not like a Thanksgiving any of us have experienced before, I hope that this podcast can offer you some comfort and some laughter. And I don't want to get sappy here, but while we're here, I want to say I'm just so thankful for all of you listening. I'm so thankful for this podcast. Y'all really like just empower me to do whatever the fuck I want with this show. And you roll with the punches when I'm like, I'm not doing Bravo anymore. And guess what? I'm rebranding. You all have stuck around and just been there for me. And so this year I'm thankful for all of you. So thanks. That was out of nowhere. I didn't even plan that. Okay, so let's get to today's amazing guest. So today on the podcast, I am joined by Jenny Gorelick. Jenny is a comedian, a writer, an actor, a producer. She's a sartorial icon. I mean, her fashion looks are second to none. And she is also host of the hilarious dating podcast, Receipts with Jenny. We had a fantastic time. We talked about Thanksgiving fashion, Thanksgiving food. Jenny gave some incredible intel on how to stay organized while pursuing a creative career and balancing all the creative ideas you have. We also talked about shit women have to deal with in the comedy space, including how to turn out a look on stage while doing stand-up. And Jenny inspired me to perhaps dabble in stand-up again one day, which is something I never thought I would say. We also weigh in on The Bachelorette, the prospect of the roaring 2020s on the other side of this fucking quarantine, and we learn a little bit more about Jenny. So I know y'all are going to love her. I know y'all are going to love this episode. Without further ado, let's get into it. Here's my conversation with Jenny Gorelick. Oh my gosh, Jenny Gorelick, thank you so much for being here. I'm so thrilled to have you.
Oh my God, Hannah Brown, thank you for asking me. I'm so happy to be here too.
Oh my gosh. The listeners need to know that you're rocking a lime green sweater, a sensible cat eye. You look fab.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I did put on clothes for you and it was mostly for you. I was wearing a legging, like sports bra, not even matching, not even an athleisure moment prior to this. And then it's like, I think there will be video and I should just make sure that I'm presentable.
Oh my gosh. You never know.
Yeah. And I know it's like an audio experience, but I think everyone's better off if we're dressed when we're talking, you know?
That's how I feel too. I am in glorified pajamas right now, but like I filled in, you know, my eyebrows today and that was okay, a step. Well, yeah.
She has brows.
We're all just doing the best we can. You know what I mean? Yes. I also feel like upon stalking your website and your social media presence, you like can turn out a look. Is like fashion something that like means a lot to you?
It does. And I've been really depressed actually because I haven't been dressing up to the same extent that I would have under other circumstances. It's very hard to be like, oh, I'm going to put on a red lip and a sparkly dress
for what?
My roommate.
Yeah.
To like walk downstairs and pick up a package.
Yeah.
Come right back up. Is that... So yeah, I love fashion. I'm sad about it, honestly.
I know. I feel like not to start this podcast off with like a bummer, but I do feel like now that it's like the holiday season, it's like you want to put together like a cute, sparkly, like holiday look and like go to a party and like see and be seen. Mm-hmm. And what are we supposed to do? Like take a picture, put it on our Instagram and like hope that our followers will validate us and like maybe they won't. And that sucks.
It does suck. It's really upsetting. I actually was thinking about what I was going to wear for Thanksgiving, which I know is a really maybe psychotic, actually.
No, I do like, it.
Way to think about for Thanksgiving. Because the holiday, which, you know, is the joke of a holiday, but the holiday is about eating.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. That's what it's about. It's about being thankful and it's about stuffing your face.
Yeah.
So why would I put together a look that is ultimately going to be covered in mashed potato and like needs to allow me to expand because I will be growing over the course of the meal. And I'm thrilled about that. You know, that's what I want.
Yeah.
And I've been thinking, and I was like, am I going to get dressed up for Thanksgiving this year? And I think I will, but.
Do you know what you're going to wear yet?
Yeah. I have this like shiny brown dress that's like kind of long, like maxi dress, autumnal. On a normal day, in a normal year, I would wear it to like a fancy date. I would take it to like a nice dinner with a heel out on the town, you know, with an incredible guy who's mean to me and hates my guts. Like that's what I would be doing.
Yes, the whole vibe.
That's the vibe. I would be wearing it for that purpose, but this year I might be wearing it for turkey.
You know, I love that. I love a sensible brown, like dress, blazer, whatever moment this time of year, you know?
Yeah.
Can you, okay, you are booked and busy, by the way. Like,
no.
Yes, though, comedian, producer, actor, host of the hilarious dating podcast, Receipts with Jenny. You host several different comedy shows. Like, literally, you're killing it amidst a 2020 hellscape. I want to ask you, like, how do you self-motivate to juggle all these amazing projects?
Okay, that's a great question because it is harder on some days than others. And I will say that all the shows that I was doing are now, they're kaput for the second, for this moment. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not really interested in doing Zoom shows. So
good for you.
Thank you. I'm strong and brave to not try to do them over Zoom.
They're hard.
They are hard. Yeah. And it's like, it's a horror show to do Zoom comedy all the time. So I've kind of given myself a break on the live shows that I was producing. So that's kind of off the table. But I have started using a journal that gives you like a 13-week plan. So you come up with your plan week by week, and then you write out your goals for each day, for each week, for each day. And you're looking at what you're doing each day and how that is contributing to you achieving your goals, right? So what I've found that's been really helpful about it is my goals have changed a lot because of COVID. Sweet, sweet COVID has changed my plans. And the goals now are like, well, I would like to write a screenplay. How am I going to get that done in this 13-week period? I need to break it out into when I'm writing the outline, how many pages am I going to write each day? So like just kind of writing it out and having a game plan and also check boxes because checking off a checkbox feels so good.
Is there a better feeling in the world? There's literally not.
No, actually there's not. It's the best feeling in the entire world. So just, you know, making myself a lot of little check boxes and checking this off. And the goals have mostly just been continue to grow Receipts, which is my podcast that I love doing, and then writing. And that's what I've been doing. And then, you know, I've been doing some activism too. And that is less about me being motivated and more about me being terrified.
Love. No, that's amazing. I feel like, I think that's the hardest thing about this sort of just like never ending stretch of time is like when just kind of being like, oh, I'll get to it when I get to it because I'm going to be quarantined forever. And then you're like, holy shit, like 6 months have gone by and I haven't started working on my screenplay yet, you know, like stuff like that. So it is like, I feel like so important to have those sort of markers. I also want to ask you too, because you, I feel like, are a multi-hyphenate and not in like a season one of Vanderpump Rules kind of way. Like you're like actually a multi-hyphenate.
Thank you.
And like, and like, do you ever
no
like,
one said that to me before and I love.
Oh my gosh. Yay.
The Vanderpump Rules. You're not like Vanderpump Rules. Like, thank you.
No. Cause season one, it was like, I'm a model, actor, musician, you know, typist, like dog trainer, like whatever the fuck else. but like you're truly a multi-hyphenate. And I feel like I want to ask you this cause this is something I struggle with. Okay. Do you ever find that you're just like brimming with so many creative ideas that you almost get paralyzed to the point of like, I don't know which one to do first.
Yes.
Do you decide which one? Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. And sometimes they'll be like, this thing is a great idea. And then you don't know whether to keep going at it, even if it's not really blossoming or becoming the thing that you had hoped it would be. You're like, how long do I, how much do I invest into this project when I also have all these other ideas and things I could be doing? Like, how do I know which one to work on and when to work on it? And also, it is really stressful to just take a look at your to-do list and have all these different categories and be like, oh my God, which do I even do first?
Yeah.
So I feel you.
Yeah.
I think I've just had to cut things and say no to things. Even ideas that I think might be good ideas for a point in time, like write them down, remember that I have this delightful idea or like this show that I really believe in that I would like to grow and make amazing. Now is probably not the time for that. And just kind of being honest with myself about how much I actually can take on and prioritizing what I'm actually having the most fun doing. Ugh. Which, can you believe doing things because it's fun?
Whoa. Read me for filth, Jenny. Jeez. It's such a good point. And I always say this where I'm like, if there were a 12-step program to like making it an entertainment, then like wouldn't everybody? So it's like, I totally get that. Like the trust muscle of just like, I have these ideas. I'm just going to do what's like lighting me up creatively right now and trust that like, if I'm meant to do the others, like I will find the time at some point.
Yes. Like, cause that idea is still going to be there in that little notebook.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You wrote it down. It's still going to be there, but sometimes it's just not the right time.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's just not the right time for it. Like I've been thinking about, like I used to do this pop culture talk show, like The View, but young people and like actually the Republicans aren't invited. So I'm sorry about that. But
oh my gosh, yes, you're so on brand for me in this podcast as well. Yeah, saying that. So
yeah, they're just not invited. I'm really sorry about that. But, I don't think it's the time. It was taking a lot of time and effort and work and it wasn't getting the viewership that I wanted it to. It didn't have all the fans that I wanted it to have. And it was like, okay, this is actually causing me stress and is not fun anymore.
Yeah.
So I'll just come back to it. Someday I'll just come back to it.
Oh, whoa. That's like a really, to me, like evolved place to create from, because I think there's this fear too of like white knuckling anything you start and being like, but I told Instagram I was doing it, so I have to do it forever. And it's just like, you actually don't. Like you actually can do whatever the fuck you want.
You know what's so crazy is that people don't even notice.
Yeah.
No one has any idea that you gave up on this thing that you said you were going to do. You know. But no one else is like paying. It's like Hannah said that she was going to make this podcast and she didn't do it. So
yeah.
No one is doing that.
Yeah.
And if people are doing that, they're crazy and they're not your friends.
Yeah. Yeah. Then it's like, why do you give a fuck?
Why do you care?
Yeah.
What? Yeah. So I know it's really hard because you're like, oh, I announced this. I made this a thing that I was going to do, but I don't know. Whatever. I don't finish every book I start reading.
Oh, I never finish a book I start reading. I'm so bad about that. Do you feel like, how long have you been doing stand-up for?
So stand-up is actually more recent. So I was in kind of my second year of doing stand-up this year. And then I have to say that since March, I have not been doing stand-up. So I really have only done stand-up for like a year and less than half, like a year and a third.
You know? And then you do sketch comedy also?
Yeah. So I was doing improv for a long period of time. Mm-hmm. RIP. Who is she? Who was I? Those days. So I was doing that. And then I got into hosting. So I would say actually the thing that I've done the most is hosting and the kinds of like comedy bits that you end up doing from hosting.
Totally.
Yeah. So like PowerPoint humor.
Yes, totally. You're like, I got a quick one. I'm going to get it in and then I'm going to keep this shit moving. Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, that. So then stand-up just kind of happened from hosting. It was like, oh yeah, I can do this. I've been talking by myself, so might as well just do it on someone else's show.
What did you like the stand-up that you did for, you know, up until March? Like, were you liking it?
I was at the point where I was really hating it, but I would know when something was really hitting.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just bad. Cause you know, when you first start and you're like, I'm at open mics and I know I'm trash and whatever, I'm trying. Isn't it so nice to get a laugh? And then you keep at it and you're like, okay, wait, actually I'm not garbage, but like sometimes I suck and I'm not as good as all these people have been doing it forever. So, but this one joke kills every time. I was kind of there. I was like, oh, I know I have something with these jokes and they're delighting me in various ways, but they're not hitting the way that I know that they can or I want them to. I have to keep working on them, but this one joke is a star. So that's where I was. And, you know, if I had been able to continue on, I hope I would be telling you, like, I've got 3 or 4 jokes that are stars.
Yes.
You know?
Oh, my gosh.
But that's just not the reality right now.
Oh my gosh, I'm sure whenever live shows become a thing again, if that is something that you want to go back to, you will very quickly have more than one star joke. I'm mainly asking because I've dabbled in stand-up and I think like as a woman in the stand-up space, I'm just always interested in talking to, or as a woman who's dabbled in the stand-up space, I'm always interested in talking to women who are in that space too, because I just think it's such a different experience
being
a stand-up comedian as a woman than it is for, you know, a man.
A man.
Yeah.
I know. Yeah. They have kind of an easier time.
Yeah.
So rude.
Can I ask you something that this might be a dumb question, but, and this is, I'm literally drawing from my personal experiences. Did you ever get any shit about what you chose to wear for your stand-up sets? Why is that a thing?
I don't know. But it's like, I'm going to come on here and I'm going to have a look and I'm going to be hot and I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But I'm a hot stand-up.
Yeah.
But it's been, it's very frustrating because there was an attitude, I think, prior to like the past couple of years, it's been changing, but like you should come on and do stand up and just look like a regular person. Like, don't try too hard. Like, prove that you're normal, like the rest of us, whatever that vibe is. Like, maybe even be a little schlubby, you know? That's funny.
Yes.
We see that. And what's kind of wild to me is that I think when stand-up was first becoming popular in like the 1940s, you did it in a suit.
Yeah.
You come out and you do stand-up in a suit. Marvelous Mrs. Maisel is wearing a gorgeous little black dress.
Oh, the cutest fits.
Yes. She's adorable.
Adorable.
So that's the energy that I want to bring when I'm doing stand-up.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree. Like, people can be so shitty about that. It's like, and it's also hard though, because if you're going to an open mic and you're dressed to the nines, like, who are you? You need to go.
Right. Because like so many other, I'm sorry, I'm going to throw like male comedians under the bus here, but it's like, just because you chose to wear like your most crusty hoodie and like bad pair of jeans, like, doesn't mean that I had to subscribe to that. That's literally what scared me away, because I had someone sit me down and be like, I don't believe that you have anything to complain about, because you're like a cute, like fashionable girl. And like, you should probably not wear like heels or like anything tight on stage. And I'm like, fuck off.
Yeah. Fuck that guy.
Yeah.
Fuck that guy. And they're so wrong. They're so wrong. And I think people are proving him wrong too now. Mm-hmm. Like, cause now there's like a hot girl comedian moment that is happening.
Ugh.
And we love that. I
we
know.
Love that.
It. Thank God that's happening. And Hannah, you definitely live in that world and can definitely do stand up and wear whatever you want. Fuck the haters.
God. Thank you, Jenny. And listeners,
and by the haters,
you can
too. I mean that guy.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
What? I wanted to ask you too. Mm-hmm. You said you're watching The Bachelorette, right?
I am.
Okay.
I am. Okay. What are our thoughts? Did you like Claire?
No.
Yeah, me either.
I rooted for her, really, but I didn't like her. Yeah.
I feel really bad about that too, because I wanted to like her really badly. I really wanted to like her. I wanted to support her, because I think it's awesome to come on to the show and be 39 and know what you want. Mm-hmm. I think that's awesome. And I want that energy for more of our bachelorettes and bachelors. Because they often come on and they're in their 20s and they have no fucking clue what's going on. And they lead the women on and they act horrible to them because they just actually are not ready for a serious relationship.
Pilot Pete was a goddamn mess.
Yes. I mean, a disaster. And then he ends up with Kelly after all of it.
Who I'm pretty sure he had sex with before the season even started when they like met at a wedding. Like,
yeah,
come
at
on.
The wedding. They had sex at that wedding at that hotel. They absolutely did. And like how rude of him to not keep her because she wasn't being dramatic like all the other women are. And also I support all the women for being dramatic because he was giving them such mixed signals the whole time.
Such a disaster.
Huge disaster. And Kelly, like, I don't know. I can't believe that she took him back.
I know. I liked Kelly because she was like, she was chill. Like, even when she got eliminated, she was like, okay, bye. Like,
yeah, whatever. She bye. She's like, okay, you don't like me? Fine. I don't want to be with you.
Yeah, like, I'm a fucking lawyer. I'm going to leave.
Yeah. And now she's with him, so I don't know. I'm like
on TikTok. I know.
He just doesn't deserve for her to give him a second chance, I think.
No, no. How do you feel about the men this season?
They're not good enough for Tayshia.
Is anyone good enough for Tayshia? The answer is no.
No, no one's good enough for her. And I'm actually really upset with Chris Harrison personally, with all the Bachelor producers. I'm upset with them because they should have brought more new guys. And I know it's a struggle because obviously we are in a pandemic. I know that might have to like set off their schedule. Like they might have to go off schedule because they need to like quarantine some new guys. But like, oh my God, the guys who came for Claire aren't necessarily going to be the right guys for Tayshia.
Totally.
Rude.
And she deserves like a curated group of men just for her.
Yes.
That's been my issue too, where I'm like, you know, I'm happy that Tayshia's the bachelorette. I think she's a great bachelorette, but I'm like, she deserves like the full bachelorette experience. She doesn't deserve to just like pick up Claire's leftovers that like Claire didn't want because she found Dale like right away.
Yeah, I agree. And it's just kind of upsetting because it's like, I don't know. I just have a feeling. I don't know this. I'm not reading Steve,
right?
You know, our spoiler Steve or anything. Yeah. So I don't know. But like, I just feel like she probably doesn't end up with anyone.
You think?
That's the feeling I have in my gut.
Oh no. Is your gut like always accurate? I have an inaccurate gut because I'm just anxious.
It's not always accurate, but sometimes I get a feeling that's like very strong.
Oh my God.
And I just feel like, I just don't think she's going to end up with anyone.
I have some front runners that like, I really want to see her like talk to more. Like this past week, I really like Joe and I was like, where has Joe been this whole season? I like Damar. I think he's a cutie. Ben, like he's not always perfect, but he's kind of a teddy bear and I like him.
Yeah.
Noah reminds me of like every guy I dated in my 20s with the mustache.
Yep. I know. I thought he was better with the mustache.
Me too.
I would have had him keep it.
Yeah. He has a baby
I would have requested actually all the men probably should grow some mustaches and facial hair. I love, but that's me. That's not Tayshia. That's me. But
just a little scruff.
Yeah. Just a little bit of scruff I think is hot and fun. So, the mustache was cute. His personality was the mustache. So he lost his power now that he shaped it.
Yes. It's like Samson and Delilah. He lost the mustache. He lost his power.
Yes.
Are you in the Team Ed, Team Chasen fight? Do you have a side or do you hate them both?
This fight is dumb. This fight is so dumb. But if I had to pick a side, it's going to be Chasen just because I think Ed is being a baby.
Yeah. I feel like I was team Ed at first because I thought he was being really goofy when he's like, oh, I'm going to carry this baby around. Like, I'm going to be funny about it. And then he just ended up being like such a little brat the whole night. Yeah. And I was like, enough is enough.
Yeah. And he was just making really a big stink about a lot of things that just did not feel. Like, okay, if you can't fight the oiled up men because you might hurt yourself. Mm-hmm. Can we just like make sure that the fight doesn't get them to the point where they're like hurting themselves?
Yeah.
Like, why is that even a question of whether he might like dislocate his shoulder in a silly fight that is being witnessed by just his like 20 friends of the moment? Like, there's no one there. Like, what is, why are we why are we trying to kill each other in this fight?
I know. I know. I always have like flashbacks to the show Unreal. Like every time these like challenges are just like batshit crazy, I'm just like, there is someone in a control room, like it just coming up with the craziest shit possible. And it's like, let's like lube up a bunch of men and just have them wrestle each other and like see who gets the most hurt.
Stupid. What would a challenge be for you, actually?
If I were the Bachelorette?
Yeah, if you're the Bachelorette and it's a group date.
Okay. Ugh. This is like really lame and basic of me, but okay. And this is like not in Corona times. I would go to like a winery and have them like put like a wine together, like make a Hannah blend. And then yes. I would taste them all and like get a little drunk.
That's a great date idea. Oh my gosh, I love that.
What would yours be?
That's a really cute date idea. I think I would want to do something like where there's just a lot of activities at once. Like maybe like we take all the boys to the theme park and then I can do different things with them at the theme park so that I have my Ferris wheel date and I have my, you know, win me a prize date. And then we see who can win actually the best prize for me. You know, that kind of thing would be really fun. I don't like the ones that are like, who like the challenge is to be the most grown ass man. Like I didn't like that challenge because it just feels forced.
Yeah, totally. It was like, do a math problem. I'm like, what is entertaining about like word problems? I like actually hate them.
Yeah. Yeah. And actually, if anyone's really good at that, I don't know if they necessarily are the person for me.
Right? I'm like, if you're good at math, like that's going to intimidate me because I'm not good at math. No thanks. Yeah, we have nothing to talk about.
We have nothing to talk about. So I don't love that. And I'm now getting visions of Kelly for the like runway challenge for Pilot Pete where there was like, there are just different obstacles on the runway of a plane.
Crazy. That was crazy.
Who came up with that?
Oh my gosh, what was the other one where like Kelly like cut in front of someone on like a little scooter or something and someone's
like, that.
Yeah, it was that one, right? Okay, yeah, that was madness and people fucking hated her for it.
They were so mad, but it was like, these rules are fake. So I think she can probably do whatever she wants. It's not real. Like, just do whatever you want, Kelly.
Yeah, literally, it's like at the end of the day, like, if Pilot Pete, like, wants to hook up with you / date you, like, he will keep you around. He's not going to be like, oh, darn, she broke the rules. Like, got to send her home.
Oh, my God, she cut in line. I can't.
Yeah.
No.
I have some Thanksgiving questions for you.
Yes. Also, I have a white claw. I hope that's okay.
That's amazing. I have... My boyfriend just brought me a McDonald's Diet Coke because it's like it's like my sweet nectar.
That's a good boyfriend.
I was like, please get me a Diet Coke. What is your favorite Thanksgiving food?
Cranberry sauce.
From the can or fresh?
I need to have both. I actually need to have both at the table. Is that too demanding?
No.
is that extra? I need two types of cranberry sauce.
Oh my gosh. Do you like them both for different reasons?
Yes. Because out of the can... Mm-hmm. For some, it just like, that's what it is. That's the taste of Thanksgiving.
Yep.
There's nothing more special, more Thanksgiving, more delicious than just plopping out that cylinder jelly.
Yeah.
Taking a spoon to it. That's
going
it. That's Thanksgiving. Yeah. Going to town. Mm-hmm. But the homemade cranberry sauce, I think there's something very special about that too, because we might, the argument might be that that tastes better.
Right.
There is an argument for it. It tastes better if we're just like only thinking about taste.
It's elevated.
Yeah, it's elevated. It's sophisticated. But if we're thinking about vibes, straight out of the can is Thanksgiving vibes.
That's so valid. What is your favorite like Thanksgiving drink?
Red wine. A whole bottle of red wine.
That's how I feel.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Probably. I don't think I'm going to make... I'm cooking for the first time ever in my life. I'm cooking for the first time ever in my life. No, I'm cooking for the first time ever for Thanksgiving.
It's amazing.
I know. I'm scared though. But again, I'm like, I'm doing the HelloFresh meal. So they've made it very easy for me. So it's all coming out of a box. But I think I'm going to be so overwhelmed trying to do that I cannot add a fancy cocktail to the list.
Oh my gosh. No. That's what I love about wine. It's one ingredient. Just like you just dump it and then you drink it and then enjoy it while you're cooking your HelloFresh. It's perfect.
Yeah, it's perfect. So that's it for me. But I love a formal cocktail for sure. It's just, again, you have to be honest with yourself about what you can actually take on. And for this, I can't take on a cocktail.
Yeah. That's the whole theme of 2020 is just like boundaries and like knowing what you can take on, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, pumpkin pie or pecan pie or another dessert.
Is it heinous if I say cherry pie or apple pie? I don't want pumpkin or pecan.
You are wild, Jenny. No,
Blair
Waldorf ate an entire pumpkin pie on Gossip Girl one time. And so for that reason, I say eat whatever fucking pie you want.
Thank you. Yeah. I love that episode. It was flashback moment.
Oh my God.
I cry.
Oh, every time. That episode's also like wildly inappropriate. Like if my boyfriend were like in a water fight with my best friend in my bathroom, like I would literally kill everyone.
Yeah, you should. That would be a reason. That's a reason for jail.
Yeah.
Everyone goes to jail. You're all in jail.
Yeah.
Sorry, everyone. You can't do that.
Sorry. Yeah.
Are you ready for the new Gossip Girl?
Oh,
I'm really excited.
I'm so, and you live in New York.
I do. You're like, but I didn't get cast on it, Hannah.
Did you audition for it?
No.
You look like
no one
you'd
asked
be in high
me.
School.
Thank you. This has been my dream forever, is to be on the new Gossip Girl. And I have yet to be cast for it. So
there's time.
Someone tell me what's going on with that.
Oh my gosh. There's literally time. I have heard murmurings that it's gonna be like really amazing, and I'm just like so fucking excited.
I'm so excited. Everyone looks so hot already.
So hot. The outfits are amazing. Everyone is stunning. I'm like, gimme all of it.
Yes. Yeah. I can't wait.
Can't wait. Speaking of which, what's your favorite Thanksgiving movie / and or TV episode?
Okay, great question. Cause my brain immediately went to all of the OC Thanksgivings.
I've been watching those.
Yeah. Because there are multiple. There are quite a few OC Thanksgivings. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Although I think Chrismica is probably my favorite of the OC holidays, but that is where my brain went first. Yeah. And I'm trying to think if there's anything fun and silly that I'm forgetting that's Thanksgiving.
I really like Pieces of April. That's like one of my favorite Thanksgiving movies.
I haven't seen.
Oh my gosh. It's with Katie Holmes, and she plays like a punk like misfit in her family. And it's such a miscast moment, and I'm obsessed.
That's so fun. So when she's young. So
yes, it was like 2003.
Okay. Wow.
Yes.
Have not seen.
It's fantastic.
I believe it. I like Katie Holmes.
I mean, Joey was the worst, but like Katie is the best. And Katie's seen some shit, and like, I just want to support her. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I agree. And I think, honestly, when she was dating Jamie Foxx, that was really hot.
Most stunning couple of all time. I was like, beautiful. Get out of here. Come on.
So beautiful. But, you know, alas, some relationships end.
Unfortunately. I have some, final question out of the Thanksgiving ones, and I'll get more into like specific you questions. What is one thing you're grateful for in 2020?
Oh, I love that question. It just, because it's been such a hard, weird year.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what's been nice about it and that I have enjoyed is that it has given me a reason to slow down and assess how I'm feeling and why I'm feeling it. So I think there's been a lot of work done this year. And I think we've all had to, whether we've wanted to or not, because we just have been spending so much time at home alone, you know, with ourselves. And that's who we have. So I'm thankful that I've had that time. And also I'm very thankful for my therapist for being there for me during it.
Oh my gosh. Retweet all of the above. Yes. Yeah. It is like wild how much self-reflection, like you literally have no choice but to do it when you're just alone in your home for, you know, months on end.
Yes. I would love to not have to think about, you know, my childhood trauma by going out and dancing and drinking a lot and socializing and going on dates and meeting new people and performing comedy. I would love to just ignore all of it because I was really busy doing other stuff, but I'm not busy. So
you're like, here we are. I'm crying.
Yeah, I'm crying. I guess I'm crying.
I know. I think about that too. I'm like, okay, like, yes, like inevitably we've all been peeling back the layers of ourselves in quarantine because like, what else are you supposed to do? But I'm like, what is life going to be like when we do have those like escapes at our fingertips again? And now we know all these new things about ourselves. Like, I think that we're all just going to like level the fuck up.
That'd be amazing. I hope so. I hope we all level up.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be like the 1920s again. I think it's going to be a lot of excess when we're back out.
Yes.
I think it's going to be people really wanting to celebrate and socialize all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Which sounds fun, honestly.
Yeah.
Sounds great.
A blast. Like,
I'm ready.
Yeah, me too. Huh. Oh my God. We're going to turn out so many looks.
So many. No one is fucking ready for 2021. Me.
Literally.
Or our outfits. They're not ready, actually.
I want like a fucking train, like wherever I go. Like, I want to wear feathers and furs. Yes.
Yes. Exactly. It's just like we miss glamour right now because all we have is cozy.
I know.
And I love cozy, but I'm over cozy.
Same. That's why I love following Z-Way because I'm like, what is she going to wear? Like, she's so fabulous in quarantine. And I'm like, wow, all the goals.
She has been so fabulous in quarantine. Ugh. I saw her on a roof and she was wearing a, because we're friends. But like,
oh,
she
love.
But I saw her at like a mutual friend's like roof celebration when, Biden was announced as president on that Saturday. Mm-hmm. So people kind of all collectively went to this roof and she was wearing like a green leather and fur jacket.
And
looked amazing.
Incredible.
It was actually really mean of her to show up like that. So beautiful.
Okay, like, who gave you fucking permission to be this stunning? Like, please.
Yeah. What the fuck? But yeah, she came out. She looked so gorgeous. And the rest of us were like in a haze because we were like, we are so happy and we are drunk. I was very drunk.
Oh, love.
Love.
More specific questions about you, first of all.
Yes.
What was junior high like for you?
Junior high? Not going to believe it, but I was kind of a weirdo drama kid.
Love.
So lived in that world, spent most of my time with the other theater students in like there was the girls and the boys dressing room adjacent to each other and part of our school. So we would just like hang out there. So we wouldn't go hang out like at the couches where, you know, everyone our year would hang out. We went to the drama room instead. And I also was, of course, an extreme overachiever. So I was working, I did theater as an extracurricular and also I did the newspaper.
Wow.
Yeah. So I was working very hard at the newspaper. I'm like, oh my God, kissed my first boy the year before, sophomore year of high school.
Oh my God. Big things happening.
Huge things happening, but like did not date in high school famously or drink. I like really didn't start until the second half of senior year because I took
same.
Yeah. We had an honor code at my school and I took that very seriously.
What does that mean? Like, what exactly is an honor code?
Well, it does mean that I went to a private school.
Yes.
Yes. And in New Jersey. Mm-hmm. And we had these rules that were like, you're not going to plagiarize on, you know, any tests, homework assignments. Mm-hmm. You're not going to drink illegally. Mm-hmm. If people... like you're not going to steal. So people would have their lockers unlocked and like leave their bags just kind of around in like places where you could just drop off your bag and like no one stole.
Wow.
The crazy thing is, yeah, no one took anything. And actually I think people were pretty good about not plagiarizing. They were not good about not drinking. That definitely was still happening. But yeah, it was just like this is a code of conduct and you're going to hold yourself to these standards. And we pretty much did. But I think if you didn't, the punishment was like pretty bad, like expulsion or.
Holy shit.
So you had to, I mean.
Yeah. Whoa. You like lived like a real life, like Gossip Girl moment.
It was a little bit of a Gossip Girl moment, but we didn't have uniforms.
Oh, you didn't? Did you like that? Or were you like, I don't want to think about what I have to wear to school?
I love dressing up for school actually. So it was really fun to, you know, wear my outfits. I was best dressed senior year. So
wow.
Yes. But I also was most dramatic and I said, you could only keep one. And I was like, I don't want to be most dramatic. Someone else take this, which yes. ultimately I think means that I was the most dramatic, but I was like, take it away from me.
Yeah.
I don't want to be associated with this one. But I did love doing all the outfits, but I think I would have liked having a uniform too. I think I would have, you know, when you have some, you have to work within the parameters, you can get very yes. creative.
That's so what that would
be fun.
Yeah.
That would have
yeah.
been fun. I don't know. I probably would have found my classmates to be hotter. If mm-hmm. they were wearing, you know.
Everyone looks so fierce in a school uniform.
Yeah, everyone kind of looks really good in a school uniform.
Yeah.
So.
What was your first job?
I had internships. I don't know if we're counting those. Yeah, so I had internships, but I kind of wouldn't count them. Because I'm from New Jersey, so I moved to the city right away. And mm-hmm. also would come to New York and stay over the summers between, like, college and worked my internships. But my first like real jobs, like I'm getting paid at these jobs mm-hmm. and I'm clocking in. I was the hostess at a steak and sushi restaurant called Tender in Midtown on like 36th Street and 6th Avenue. So right in that like finance area.
Was it hard?
It was so hard and people were so like gross. Like, cause the men who would come in, it was always men.
That's a hot girl job too.
Thank you. I had to wear a black dress and like yes. My job was to like talk to the people and get them situated. Right. But mm-hmm. they were like the skeeziest dudes who would talk to me. Yeah. And if I did really well and I brought, cause I was kind of situated where you could see me. Mm-hmm. So the goal was to get people to come in off the street. So if I did a good job bringing in people, especially for lunch, then they would be like, my supervisor, the manager, would be like, here's a steak sandwich. Good job. And I was like, okay.
Cool.
Cool. Thank you for the steak sandwich. Like, only rude people want steak and sushi at the same time.
That is, truer words have never been spoken. You're just greedy. Yeah.
Greedy.
Yeah.
You want one. Also, and who wants steak and sushi for lunch?
That's a lot.
Full meal. How are you going to be able to go back to your desk or live your life after this moment?
I would just want to take a nap.
Right? You have to nap after that.
What was your favorite outfit that you wore to a school dance?
That's a huge, very specific great question. Okay, I have two. We had a themed dance around homecoming. Mm-hmm. It was themed. Mm-hmm. Or no, it was Halloween. It's like in that fall period of time, it's yes. themed. So it's encouraged to wear costumes mm-hmm. to this thing. So I had a group of friends my senior year, we wore for a space themed dance, mm-hmm. these dresses that all had light up skirts.
Fun.
They were so fun and cute and also so like very low cut in a way that was so surprising and just like, I loved it, but honestly, I was 17. I needed to stop. But I guess, I mean, like 17-year-olds right now are beautiful and it's uncomfortable.
They're like 37 years old. Like
they're 37.
I'm like, what the fuck?
I was trying to do that. I was not doing that as well as they're currently doing that.
Oh my God, same.
So,
yeah.
You know, so that was my first favorite. Mm-hmm. And then my second, prom my junior year, I wore a dress that I had gotten in Texas at the mall in Texas because I was visiting colleges in Texas. Mm-hmm. And this dress was insane. It was like covered in different gemstones and like very tight fitting, a light green, kind of similar to the green that I'm wearing now, like a mint green.
Amazing.
And the brand was definitely catered to like a Southern over the top wants a lot of embellishment, like lady, like woman.
Yes.
And I loved this dress. And honestly, it was like really well fitting and looked amazing on me, but also was too much. It was too much. It was just like, you don't need this many jewels on everything, but I would never take it back. I love it.
I was going to say, I feel like that should be the dress you wear into 2021. Like that's the vibe. You're right.
I have it. It's in storage under my bed.
Oh my gosh.
I don't know if it'll still fit me.
I bet it will.
I don't know. I have my bat mitzvah dress under there too.
Oh, Yes. That's, I don't have either. I don't have any of my prom dresses or my bat mitzvah dress still. And like, good on you that not only do you have them, but you fit them in your apartment in New York City. Like that is commitment.
Thank you. They're in, you know, like one of the bags where you take out the air. Yeah. They're not breathing in there.
Who was your cartoon crush growing up?
It was the fox in Robin Hood.
He is so hot.
He's really hot. He's really, really, really hot. Oh my God. And he's so charming.
So charming.
Are you kidding me with that box? And I also really liked, I was pretty nerdy and I liked Sailor Moon a lot.
Yes.
So Tuxedo Mask was also really hot to me.
You are not the first person to say that. Because, really? Like, he was hot. And that show just was like fraught with like sexual tension.
Oh my God. Everyone was dating each other and like getting on and saving the planet and like really cute. Yeah.
An incredible show. I want to revisit that show. Who would your celebrity bestie be and why?
Oh, great question. Like, who would I get along with?
I know.
Because there are people that I love who I'm like, they probably wouldn't actually want to hang out with me.
Like, I feel that way about a lot of people as well. Yeah.
Yeah, because I'm like, I love Rihanna. I love Beyonce. I'm obsessed with them. They don't actually want to spend any time with me. They're like, like, that's okay. They don't need me in their life. But I would love to be in Harry Styles' life. I think we'd have a lot of fun. But we would not be best friends moment because, like, I would never be able to tell him exactly how I'm feeling or thinking or get on that level with him.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be too nervous.
Oh my gosh. Harry Styles wrote about one of my favorite cafes here in LA in a song. And like the line at that cafe never went down after that song came out. And I was like, God damn it, Harry, you ruined everything.
He took your cafe from you.
Yeah, because now it's just teeny boppers being like, does Harry come here? And like, when does he come here? And like, how often does he come here? And I'm like, I've never seen Harry Styles here. Yeah. Yeah, literally never.
I've never seen him in my entire life.
Not once. Ugh.
I'm like, I think it'd be very funny if I was best friends with Shaquille O'Neal. I saw him in real life one time and he was carrying a tiny little matcha and he's such a huge man.
Oh my God.
And I just think that would be hilarious to hang out because like he wouldn't even be able to see me in his line of vision.
Yeah, like your friend like, photos would be hilarious.
I know. I would like, we wouldn't be in the same picture. You'd have to like take two pictures and then just Photoshop them together.
Yeah, you need to have like a really long selfie stick.
Yeah, exactly. So I think I would be delighted by our friendship if we had one, but I don't know how much we have in common.
Oh my God.
Because I don't know. I don't understand his sport. So I don't know. I can't really talk to him about his passions. That's probably a problem.
No, but you could probably talk to him about the movie Kazam where he played a genie in the 90s.
Yeah, absolutely. I could talk about that for sure.
It's a great movie.
I would talk about that with him anytime he wanted to.
Yeah.
I'm like, who would I hang with and have fun with? I think, okay, I would actually love to hang out with Lily Reinhart and Cami Mendez. I think that'd be really, really fun.
That's a great answer. They seem really fun.
They do seem really fun. And I like their work ethic too. I think they do work hard.
Yeah.
So I think that'd be a nice time and I would enjoy it.
Love that. That's a great answer. Do you have a hype up song? And if so, what is it?
I listen to... Because I've been listening to the song So Close a lot. Do you know that? Mm-hmm. We got so close.
I love that
song. That one makes me feel very like happy in that how like bouncy it is as a song. Mm-hmm. But I would say my like hype up song if I'm feeling bad is maybe Breathe In by Ariana Grande.
Yes, that's a good one.
It brings me back to like, okay, I can feel better about this. I'm going to be okay kind of moment.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to think. What else?
What if you're like about to do like a stand-up show or like an audition you're really nervous for?
Oh, and I'm listening to music? I'm actually probably not. If I'm really nervous about a stand-up show or an audition, I'm probably not listening to anything.
Oh my gosh. Interesting.
Weird.
You're just like focusing.
I'm probably looking over my jokes again or the lines. That's probably really what I'm doing. Point. Maybe, but probably more than I need to be. Mm-hmm. You know, like there's probably that's medium. Not helping me. Probably that's not helping me, but I don't really listen to music before either of those activities. I'm just like in the freaking sides or the notes.
Okay, I do, and that's probably, maybe I should stop.
No, I don't know. I don't know. If it, you just booked, so it might be working for you.
Who's to fucking say? What is something, this is my last question for you, Jenny. Okay, this hour has flown by the way, and thank you so much again for coming on.
Yeah.
What is something considered aspirational that you don't have yet, but you want to have? And this can be anything.
Okay, so I'm going to know that I've made it, Hannah, mm-hmm. when I have an extremely expensive, pristine white couch. Only people who have like gotten there can have that, because it's impossible to keep that thing clean. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
So it really means you've made it. If you have in your house, there's just a big white couch.
Oh my gosh, like a Restoration Hardware, like cloud couch in white. Can you even handle
it? No, I can't handle it. I would be like, the second I buy that couch, I'd be like, well, here I am. I've done it. It's me.
Yeah. You're like, I have nothing else to accomplish. Like, this is fucking it.
Yeah. This is just huge. So that's really, I am looking forward to that day someday. And then, you know, also, I guess like a second, I would like to own a house, and then I'd like to own a second house.
You and me both, sister. I can't wait for the day I like get on Instagram and you're just like on your new white couch and you're like, just got my second house somewhere fucking cool. And I'll be like, yes, Jenny, you fucking manifested that. You did that.
Yeah.
Epic.
I can't wait for that day. I'm, you know, it's not 2021, but we'll see. But maybe it is.
I don't know. You're going to strut into 2021 in a bejeweled green dress and who knows, like the couch could just like flow your way.
Yeah. Just come to me.
Yeah.
And then lounge on it. I like literally cannot move in that. I couldn't move in the dress then. I'm sure if I wore it now, I would not be able to move in it. It's like so tight in some areas that maybe it shouldn't be. It was very for pictures. And yeah, just like can't wait to be like lounging very uncomfortably on my pristine white couch in my bejeweled green dress.
Dreams and goals.
Dreams.
Jenny, thank you so much for coming on and chatting with me. This was like truly such a blast.
So much fun and such a great time.
Oh my God, so fun. Will you please just like plug all your things and tell my listeners where they can find you?
Yes. So if you would like to listen to me talk more, I have my own podcast. So you can follow that at Receipts Pod, and it's a dating podcast and we have all the evidence. So we go into our guests' receipts, their text messages, their DMs, their emails. We read the receipts and that is the evidence. And then if you want to follow me on Instagram, I'm at Jenny Sequa. So Jenny, JenNyCEST. QUOI. It's an extremely complicated Instagram handle. It's maybe not one that I should keep, but I think it's funny. So
love.
I can't change it.
Don't change it. Never change it.
Never change. So
Jenny, thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah.
Listeners, thank you so much for listening. Make sure to check out Jenny and her pod Receipts, and we'll see y'all soon. Bye. Yeah.